Glory to God. How are we doing this morning? Praise God. Are you sowing seeds for the kingdom of God's sake? Are you having conversations, healthy conversations, godly conversations that are leading to transformation and change in people's lives? Well, this is what we are all about. Isn't that right? Hallelujah. Well, are you excited? Hallelujah. You ought to be feeling pretty good. It's warmed up a little bit, right? Got an extra 10 degrees this week, I think, last week. It seems a little warmer. And so how great is it to see the sun shining and just to be able to know that spring is coming. Spring is in the air. Oh, how nice that is. I call it the ugly season. Yeah, why? Because, you know, when the snow melts, everything gets all muddy, and it's all kind of like you go through that transitional, you know, phase, and, you know, the seeds are there, but it hasn't quite come up and turned green yet, so you kind of go through that, you know, it's kind of the ugly season, but it's still a nice season, right? And how awesome it is, how beautiful it is to know that God has given us the various seasons so that we can see God's creativity at work and just to be able to enjoy that. You know, some places they don't have all the seasons we have. And so we're blessed that we have them all. And that's why I love all of the seasons so much. I love the winter. I love the snow. Oh, it's just great. And it's a shame to see it go, but, you know, it's going. I can see it going, I'm right, you know, so the snow as it melts away, but we know that it will be back again. Hallelujah. And it's so exciting to be a part of the kingdom of God and what God is doing. And he's always doing something new and something fresh. And it's always great to be a part of that. It's always nice to know that God is helping us. And he's molding us and shaping us so that we can be like him. And, you know, life is short, right? It goes by really fast. And then we enter into eternity. And I tell you, eternity is a lot better. It's a lot longer. And there's a lot more to live and enjoy. And we're excited about not only life now, but we're excited about life coming up, going into the future, because we know the Word of God tells us how awesome it is. No more sickness. That's a big one, right, these days, right? That's a big one, you know, and there's no more tears, no more crying. You know, it's all the goodness that God originally intended for humanity when he created the world, when he created the cosmos, the universe, back when Adam and Eve were in the Garden of Eden. You know, it was all good. And unfortunately, rather than eating from the tree of good and from the tree of life, they ate from the tree of good and evil instead. And unfortunately, we have learned now how to avoid eating from the wrong tree. Isn't that right? Well, at least we're trying anyway. We're trying so that we can stay the course and walk with God and see the hand of God manifested in our life. Well, we are talking about bringing your fragments. How many of you have fragments? Yes. And, you know, we are all fragmented in one way or another. You know, you go through life and there's all types of challenges and difficulties that we face. We face hardships. And as we go through all of these things, it breaks us. You know, it breaks our hearts. It causes us to become more humble as we go through life, and we have more patience, and we have a better understanding and a different perspective on life itself. It changes everything, and it causes us to understand how true and real the Word of God is, how true God is. And when we understand that, when we come to that place where we know the reality of God, it helps us to surrender our own will, our own ways, so that we can be more of the person he's called us to be. And we can have patience with each other. We can have a greater love for each other. And that's what enables us to connect and to be strong in our walk with God and in our interactions with each other as we go through the world. You know, the Word of God says love covers a multitude of sins. And whenever, you know, you have any type of conflict or any type of issue, it really comes down to how much love do you really have? Because the more love you have, the more you are able to help bring about reconciliation, bring about healing. You're able to interact with people even when you've been offended or you've been hurt. There is something about the love of God that enables you to overcome it. And we know how the devil likes to try to bring division and to separate and hinder people. And he shows them things that actually cause a wedge to be driven between them and whatever it is that they see. And unfortunately, that is the state of the fallen world that we're in. But when Christ comes into our life, he restores, he renews, he revives, he draws us together. In fact, the Word of God says that when Christ is lifted up, he draws all men unto me. And it's so important for us to learn how to lift up Christ. It's when we fail to lift up Christ that we end up being separated. And unfortunately, we tend to look at the other person being the person who was offending us, but it really isn't the other person offending us. It's the offense that is already in us. And because we don't have the love of God stirring within us, it actually causes us to be repelled. And so no matter what it is that we experience, we know that the love of God will cause us to be reconciled, to cause us to be healed in the midst of whatever the situation is. And that's why having Christ at work in our hearts is so important, and not just to have religion, not just to have an understanding or a knowledge of what is right and what is true. Just because you know something is right and it's true doesn't necessarily mean that you actually possess those qualities or have a handle on its effectiveness in your life. And so often we mistake those two. You know, the Word of God tells us that even Satan believes. Satan believes, but he's still Satan, isn't he? And there are a lot of people who believe in God or who believe all the right things, but they are still not of God, and they are not operating in the fullness of the resurrection of the cross of Jesus. They're not living under divine principle and following the Word of God to an extent where they're actually seeing the results, where the fruit of God is being manifested in their life. Love, joy, peace. You know, it's not just love when things go the way you would like them to go. The real love kicks in when things are going wrong, when you're having problems, when things are not as they ought to be. That's when you know you whether or not you have love or not. It's when someone does wrong, when evil comes against you. In what way do you respond? Does love arise so that you can overcome the evil, or does anger, frustration, and just a whole wedge that rises up and moves in between us to kind of push us away? That's what Satan does. That's Satan's work. And anytime you see division or any type of confusion that way, you know that it's Satan's work, but not Satan's work in the person who was maybe the tool of the offense. It's Satan's work in you, in your life, in your heart, in your mind, because you can't see God. All you see is the darkness. All you see is the evil. And when Christ arises in you, you can see through the cloud that Satan is trying to bring up in your life, and you can see through to what God is ultimately saying and doing so that you can have victory over it. You can actually conquer it. And that requires the love of God. That requires the power of God working in our lives. And that is the opposite of the way the world thinks. and even the way the world functions in its practical way of doing things. And so you and I are of a different world. This is why we are of the kingdom of God, because everything about us is the opposite of what the world says and does. And because of that, we are able to always experience the Spirit of God. God is Spirit, and we understand that God is Spirit. And if God is Spirit, we also know that His kingdom is a spiritual kingdom that was established, and all those who are interacting and operating with God must be of the Spirit. Even Satan is a spirit. He is a satanic being, but he is a fallen spirit. And when we understand that, we are able to know how important it is for us to walk in the Spirit of God, like Paul says. And we need the Spirit of God cultivating us and stirring us and ultimately bringing us to a place where we are reflecting the kingdom of God rather than the kingdom of darkness. Well, hallelujah. I just felt compelled to share that today because I know how important it is to be able to overcome Satan. And sometimes the Lord will give me something to share with you because I know somebody may be dealing with it, or it may be coming up this week. And so I want to make sure that I say what God has given me to say when these things happen. And as I was standing here, the Holy Spirit began to show me that, and I needed to say that. So there it is. And you know, let's gain victory. Let's walk in the strength and in the power of God. Let's dispel the darkness, and whatever it is that's oppressing or weighing you down, shake it off. Be free of it, because God loves you and God cares for you. He's watching over us, and He is helping us to navigate through the challenges and the difficulties that we'll face in the world. And so we know, Paul says, we're not ignorant of Satan's tactics or his devices, his ways. So let's learn from them and let's help each other to overcome them. And even if you say, well, that may not have been for me, well, hold on to that, because you might need to share that with someone this week. And it's so important for us to take hold of the things of God as they come to us, and to abide in the right spirit. Amen? Hallelujah. Amen. All right. Well, we are talking about bring your fragments, and we are all fragmented, as I was saying. And I believe that God uses those fragments in order to change the world. It is your backstory that makes you the great person that you are. It is your life experiences, the good, the bad, and the ugly, as Clint Eastwood would say. All of the things that you have endured through life, all of those things are designed to help you to become the person you need to be in order to be effective at representing the kingdom of God as we go through life. And all of these experiences are for the purpose of advancing the kingdom of God, helping other people to come to a place where they too can have an encounter with God, have an experience in God. And each day we ought to be drawing closer to God. We ought to be talking with Him, interacting with Him as we go through the day. Include Him in your decision-making processes. In fact, Proverbs says, if you acknowledge Him in all of your ways, He will direct your path. And so don't assume that you just have to go through life on your own, making your own decisions, but know that you have a legal advocate, the Holy Spirit. And when you speak to God and you say, Lord, give me wisdom. Help me to know what to say and do in these moments, in these situations. As you're approaching opportunities to be able to interact, I don't need water. I'm fine. All right. So know that everything is going according to the plan of God. Understand that the Lord is able to navigate us through, giving us small little victories. And even when we struggle and we have defeats, we know that God is going to use that so that we can be a blessing to someone else, and that we are a part of this work of God, so that in the end, we have victory. It's in the end that we have victory. And so I would like to begin here in 1 Kings chapter 17, just a few verses here that I would like to kind of share with you so that we can see how God does some amazing things in our lives. And in 1 Kings 17, our lead verse today, it says in verse 6, the ravens brought him, Elijah, bread and meat in the morning, and bread and meat in the evening, and he would drink from the brook. And so here's Elijah, who God has raised up to represent the kingdom of God, to represent the word of God. And just to set the context a little bit, we understand how God gave Moses the word of God, the Ten Commandments, as we would know it. But there was more to it than that. He gave him the essence of how to live in this world as a community, as a family, as a nation of people who represent the kingdom of God. And so the whole idea of Moses and the Israelites was that they were the example to the rest of the world as to what the kingdom of God was like, what it would be like to live in the kingdom of God, how we ought to conduct ourselves, what the principles ought to be. And everything about that was laid out in order to paint this picture of what our future will be like during the day when God redeems us all and he establishes a new heaven and a new earth that comes down from God out of heaven, as Revelation says. And so this is a picture of what that is like, how to navigate through this world and overcome the ways of the enemy. Because remember, we are working against Satan's schemes. Satan deceived Adam and Eve in the garden, and from that day forth, all of humanity was cursed and was living under the rule or the authority of Satan and his fallen ways. And so God is now bringing about a plan of redemption. He is transforming the world, the people of this world, but it can only be done by choice. You have to choose whom you will serve. Choose whose order or rule or way of life you will follow. And you make that choice. And you and I have chosen to serve the Lord. We have chosen to follow the plan of God. We see that even today in the world, it's the same thing. It is becoming more and more of a push towards the ways of darkness and evil under the guise of the light. And it is that which is evil has now become good, and that which is good is now becoming evil. And there is this transition all the way down to where little boys are now encouraged to be little girls, and little girls are encouraged to be little boys, and mix it all up in between. This is the way, and the culture is literally is encouraging and moving and forcing and pushing this way. And we see it all around us, and that is the darkness fighting to hold on to its darkness, even to take back what God has stolen from him. I know that's probably playing in your mind right now, but Satan is trying to take back what God has stolen from him. And you and I are a part of that. And as time moves forward, in fact, the word of God says the days will grow more and more evil, which ultimately leads to God coming down in the fullness of his power in order to conquer evil once and for all through the resurrected Christ at his second return. And that's where we're headed for, and we can see it as it progresses. We see this as it is happening. And so we have to guard ourselves. And we're living in a day and age where it's not even so much about what we are able to overcome in this generation. It's what is going to happen in the generations to come. Because Satan is not necessarily fighting for today. He's fighting for tomorrow. Because he knows the day is coming when he will be cast into the lake of fire. And his goal is to take as many of us with him as he can possibly take with him. And so I would like to use as a theme today, give your fragments away. Give your fragments away. Well, are you ready for the word of the Lord today? Well, Lord, we are so thankful for your word. And we ask, oh God, that you would fill us with your Holy Spirit, that you would anoint us with wisdom and power, that we would be able to overcome the strategies of the enemy, that we would be able to be effective at fulfilling the call of God, sowing the seeds that will bring forth life in the hearts and minds of those you give us the opportunity to share with. We thank you, O God, for covering us, for sustaining us and keeping us, that you would enable us to remain healthy and strong and able to carry out the will of God as we persevere through this year of 2020. Help us, Lord, to redirect our passions and enable us, O God, to have victory over every challenge and obstacle we face. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Well, there is nothing more amazing than seeing God do something that you wouldn't expect. And that is such an awesome thing. And it's even more awesome when you are following God and the plan of God and the will of God, and you're doing all you can to do what is right and to do what is honorable and what the true and honest thing is to do. And it seems like everything is going against you. It seems like there's like a tidal wave of things that just are just like bombarding you here and there and here and there. And you are hard pressed to make a stand. But when you stand, when you are faithful, God will show up. He will enable you to overcome. And when you overcome, what a day of rejoicing that is, isn't it? It is so awesome to know that you were able to stand. You're able to say, thank God I was able to hold on. Thank you, Lord, for enabling me to trust you, to hold on, to see your faithfulness at work. And no matter what the challenges that we face, God is able to see us through. And so in 1 Kings 17, we see this story of Elijah as he is following the will of God, following the plan of God. And the first thing I would like to bring out here in verse 2 is that the word of the Lord came to him. And this is a phrase that we see very often in the word of God. And I want to say that whenever your situation is, whatever your circumstances are, you need the word of God to come to you. You need to have the word hidden in your heart that you may not sin against him. You need the word of God renewing your mind and refreshing you so that in those times of difficulty, in those times of opposition, when the enemy tries to drive a wedge between you and someone else or something else or anything else, that the word of the Lord will come to you. And we have to know the word of God. It's so important for us to know the difference between the word of Satan and the word of God. Do you know that it's very difficult to tell the difference? It is very difficult to tell the difference between the word of God and the word of Satan, because Satan is a master deceiver and manipulator, and he does everything he can to confuse you. And he wants us to find ourselves where we actually believe that we're hearing from God when we are not. We're being deceived. And that is why it's so important to draw near to God, to be so intimate with God that we would be able to know him in a manner that would be undeniable, so that we could be able to overcome even these trickeries that Satan uses. We even see how he used the word of God against Jesus when he was tempted after he was baptized and began his ministry. Satan showed up using the scripture to try to deceive Jesus. And many people would have fallen for that tactic, but there was something that enabled Jesus to stand. And that was, he knew the heart of God. He knew what was at the root of the passage. He knew the whole story. He knew what it was that was happening, that was at work. And he was operating under a different spirit. The spirit in which you approach the word of God will make a difference in the outcome of its effectiveness in your life. And as long as we are walking in the ways of God, in the righteousness of God, we're yielded and we're surrendered to God, when God shows up, we will recognize him. And Elijah knew the Lord. He recognized God. He walked with God. It wasn't just something that he did every once in a while. He wasn't reading his Bible every week or once a week. He was walking the word. He was walking it out. He was living out the word of God. It was a conscious, everyday, moment-by-moment effort to fulfill the word of God. This is what you and I need in our lives. We need the word of the Lord to come to us, take up residence in us, where it's a part of us. It impacts the way we think. Even when our emotions and our flesh rise up, the word of God brings peace to it and is able to settle our hearts. Because the worst thing to do is to respond out of an emotional trigger, but to allow the Spirit of God to minister the Spirit of God to us, so that we will be able to hear and know what the will of God is. And so there's this famine in the land, and Elijah is trying to deal with it. God showed him that there was going to be a famine. Everything was going to dry up. There would be no rain for 3.5 years except by the word of the Lord. And Elijah, as he would speak, he had such an intimate relationship with God that whatever he said came from God. And whatever he said, God would honor, and it would come to pass. What is your relationship with God like today? I pray that it is so intimate that you are able to see and hear and know what God is saying, so that when you say it, when you speak it, when you know or reveal it to others, God will stand behind that word and perform it, as the scripture says. This is what God is showing us here in Elijah's story. As we see in verse 3, he tells Elijah to go away from here and turn eastward. Hide yourself by the brook Cherith, which is east of the Jordan. And it shall be that you will drink of the brook, and I have commanded the ravens to provide for you there. Think about that. What in the world? God says there's going to be a famine, but I want you to go to where the brook is. And, you know, it's so important to understand that God wants to sustain his people. And even when times are difficult, even when times are challenging, God will direct you in a way so that you will find yourself in a place where you have provision. The brook has running water. And any good Boy Scout knows that when you are out in the woods, you want to be near running water. You want to be in a place where you're able to get fresh water that is being purified as it travels down along the brook path. And we know how important that is, to have running water in our lives, moving water. And I know that the word of God tells us that the water represents the word of God as it works through your life, as it moves within you, as it moves throughout your heart and renews your mind. It refreshes you. It renews you. It revives you. And the Word of God and the water, they kind of go together in Scripture. And it's so awesome to know that when you abide according to the Word of God, you will be refreshed. God will make a way for you. He will make provision for you. When you are faithful to Him, when you honor His Word, and here is Elijah as he is there going to sit by the brook, and he says he's commanded the ravens. Ravens don't share. Ravens don't share. You've seen them in the parking lots, right? And when you go to these stores. And they're out there, and they're looking for something to eat. And you see them fighting amongst themselves. The ravens, the seagulls, all these birds. They don't want to share. They're wanting to take for themselves. So God has commanded the ravens to share. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Even when it's not in their nature to share, God has the power to command. Hallelujah. You and I don't have to worry about how things look or how things appear, because God has the ability to command the ravens. And even those who would not normally do, God has the ability to cause them to do. He can make things happen. He can cause things to shift. He can cause things to change. And just because someone else is telling you some sad story about some challenge or difficulty or hardship that they've been through doesn't mean that has had anything to do with you, because God has the ability to command in your life, because you are walking according to the word of the Lord. You are operating in the strength and the wisdom of God, because you are faithful to the living water. You have taken up residence there during the famine. Hallelujah. And everything else is drying up. You're at the source of the living and running and refreshing waters of God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. This is what God has the ability to do in our lives. He will provide for you there, the Word of God says. And God is always wanting to provide for His people, to watch over us so that He can receive the glory. He can receive the honor, not necessarily for the crowd, but for the individual. God wants to prove Himself to the individuals, the individual people who will one day stand before God. Do you know that you and I will stand before God and no one else will be there but us? We're not going to be able to blame anybody. You can't say, well, it was my spouse. They messed me up. You can't say, well, it was that Christian who didn't do what was right. And so I was upset and I decided I'm not going to serve the Lord because it's all fake. It's not really real. And whatever the excuse is, you know, we can use anything as an excuse. But ultimately, God is going to say, you can't point the finger, because I wanted a relationship with you. With you, I did this, and I did you. I helped you when I opened doors over here, and I made a way for you over there, and I've done this in your life, and I've done that in your life. And no matter what anybody else's experience was, your experience was established by God. God has brought you through. And you could say, I don't know about anybody else's problems or issues, but I know about mine. I know how faithful God is to me. I know how much He loves me and how much He cares for me. And no matter what happens, or no matter what is going on in the world or in people's lives around me, I know the faithfulness of God. Saints of God, you ought to know the faithfulness of God for yourself. And God is wanting us to know. He is wanting us to be cultivated, to be drawn together. Verse 5 says that Elijah went and he did according to the word of the Lord. Do you see that? It says he did according to the word of the Lord. Anyone who reaps of the goodness of God, anyone who reaps of the provision of God, or who is able to experience God in a powerful way, they have this thing in common. They went and did according to the word of the Lord. You and I must go and do according to the word of the Lord. We cannot allow other people to discourage us or to cause us to let our guard down or cause us to change our way of life or the way we are handling the things that God has called us to do. We must be faithful to God. We must do according to the word of the Lord. It says he went and he lived by the brook Cherith. Hallelujah. He moved. He packed up. He says, we're moving. Let's go. And he went there and he found a spot by the brook Cherith, which is east of the Jordan. And that means that more than likely that was the brook that fed water into the Jordan River. God wants you and I to be a part of the source. The source. God leads us to the source. He is the source. He is the one who provides. He's the one who makes a way and opens doors for us. It says the ravens brought him bread and meat in the morning and bread and meat in the evening, and he would drink from the brook. Hallelujah. How do you like that? He had bird feed service. Hallelujah. He was able to sit back and he had DoorDash come. You didn't even know they had DoorDash back in those days. But God has it seen as nothing new in all the earth. You know, we may have changed the technology, but the principle and the idea is still there. And God had the ravens flying in. Hallelujah. You thought Amazon was able to deliver a package. Oh, God had better than Amazon. Oh, I tell you that. Because this package was delivered on time and where it was supposed to go. Hallelujah. And the bird was there in the morning and in the evening. Even Amazon can only get it there once in a day. But God is faithful in the morning and in the evening. The delivery was guaranteed. And I would like to encourage you today that you should know that God is faithful and he is true. You can count on his word and he will bring it to pass. You will see that God will enable you to have bread and meat. Bread so that the physical body can be sustained, and meat is so you can be strong, so that you can be fortified in the Lord, so that you have power to overcome, to walk and to act and to be all that God has called you to be, so that you will be his witness and you can drink the living water, the water that enables you to be refreshed, to be renewed, to be revived. This is what God is doing in our lives. This is why we abide in his word. This is why we do what God has called us to do. And we are faithful to him. We commune with him. We know that God wants to lead us to the brook where there is running water, refreshing water. Oh, doesn't that look lovely? Oh, there's a place not far from my house that looks almost like that. And I tell you, I just can't wait to go. And it's so wonderful to be able to be in this place where the Spirit of God is able to refresh you and bring revival into your life. You can have faith in knowing that the ravens are on their way. God is sending what you need, even during times of famine, even during times of difficulty. God's provision is on the way. The ravens are coming. They come in the morning and they come in the evening. God will make provision in your life. He has what you need. Hallelujah. He has what you need. The raven is carrying meat and bread for you in the morning and in the evening, so you can do what you need to do throughout the day. You can trust in God throughout the day. You can see his faithfulness in your life as you proceed, as you persevere, as you hold on to the truths of God. Even when the brook dries up, you know that God has called you for such a time as this. It is a sign it's time to move on. And this is a lesson that Elisha also learned. He recognized that when the well dries up, you can't stay anymore. When the well dries up, it's time to move. And so he needed to hear from God as the famine progressed. In verse 7, it says, it happened after a while. And I love that. It was after a while. The brook dried up because there was no rain in the land. And God will sustain you. And he doesn't want us to get comfortable where we are. He doesn't want us to feel like, well, you know, I'm just going to hang out here. I'm just going to hide. God said, I want you to hide yourself. And sometimes you need to hide yourself. Sometimes you need to come away from the world. You need to pull back and you need to allow God to refresh you and to revive you. This is why we have retreats and why we even come to church on Sunday. Sunday morning is a time of refreshing. We come away and we hide ourselves. We allow God to breathe on us, to speak life into us, to enable us, to strengthen us. He empowers us so that we can persevere for another week or however long it needs to be. God makes it so that we can trust him and see. But there is a time when we will recognize that the well dries up. When it dries up, it's time to move forward because God is doing something fresh. God is doing something new. Verse 8 says, the word of the Lord came to him again. Hallelujah. Don't you love that? When the well started to dry up, when the brook began to dry up, all of a sudden, God shows up. And God will always show up when it's time to make a shift, time to make a change. God will always show you. He will help you to make whatever changes you need. He will guide us through the process. He will help us to move in the way that he has called us to go. He says, arise. Go to Zarephath, which belongs to Sidon, and stay there. Behold, I have commanded a widow there to provide for you. And so here is God once again. He's using the same language that he used when he told him to go to the brook. And he said, I've commanded the ravens, and now he's commanded the widow. You see, if he hadn't have trusted God at the brook, he wouldn't be able to trust God with the widow. And God will start out with the small things, maybe like the birds, maybe some simple little thing, just trusting God in some small way in your life. Maybe God is showing you that you need to learn how to trust him more, or you need to step out in faith and do what God has called you to do so that you can see the faithfulness of God. Maybe you need to tithe, or maybe you need to help someone in need, or whatever the situation may be. Maybe you need to step out and start something new, change your field, your business, or whatever it is that God is placing on your heart. God will bring his word to you to help you to make the change so that you can come to a place of provision during the famine, during the time when things dry up. And so God called him to go to Zarephath, and he said to him, a widow will provide for you. Now we know that a widow is normally the one who is provided for, not the one who provides for others. And God has established this principle, showing that God has the ability to command. God is the source of resource. God is the one who opens doors, who makes a way. And God is the one who enables us to have what we need so that we can pass it on to where it needs to go. Remember, the word of the Lord is like a moving brook. The brook is flowing. It's not a pond, it's a brook. It's flowing. And it's not a river that's overwhelming, it's a brook. You can drink water from it. You can be refreshed as you live by it. And this is what God is doing in our lives. He's helping us to trust in him in the small ways, in the ways that will enable us to know that he is with us. He has not left us nor forsaken us. It was a long time between words. God first told him, go to the brook, and then He told him to go to Zarephath. And you and I need to understand that there are going to be times when it seems like God is not speaking to us. There may be times where it feels like God has forsaken us, or he's left us, or we're just kind of struggling our way. That is a picture of the day. It's a picture of the day. God has given you a word in the morning, but you have to live out the day until evening when God shows up again. And you and I have to learn how to trust God. We are able to trust him in the morning because we're receiving. He's providing for us. He's enabling us. He's strengthening us. He's there with us. But then we walk away with the testimony, and we go through the day with a story of how God's provided, how he sent the raven in the morning. But then in the heat of the day, when times get more challenging, things get a little more difficult, oh my goodness, the sun is beating down on us. And ultimately, it even starts to go down. And as the sun begins to go down, we start to worry because we haven't eaten since the morning. But God shows up. God shows up in the evening, and he restores your story. He revives your testimony, and you declare how awesome God is, how faithful he is. You go to sleep reflecting on the goodness of the Lord, how he made provision for you. And the next day, it happens again, and it gets a little easier, and you can trust him all the more. And every day, it gets better, and it gets better. Somebody said, every day with Jesus is sweeter than the day before. Why? Because you recognize the faithfulness of God. You recognize the hand of God at work in your life. You know that he has not left you nor forsaken you, but he is with you always, even until the end of the age. No matter what it is we face, no matter what it is that's going on around us, we can trust in God. So Elisha, he went and he spoke with the woman at Zarephath. And when he came to the gate of the city, it says the widow was there and she was gathering sticks. And he called to her and said, please get me a little water in that jar, in a jar, that I may drink. And here is Elijah, and he's coming and he's asking this woman who was gathering sticks. And notice she was about something. Notice she was doing something. She was gathering sticks. She was preparing. The reason you gather sticks is so that you can make a fire. And she wanted to cultivate a fire because she needed to cook something. Or maybe at night, and it gets cold at night, and the fire brings you warmth. And that is why you can never let a fire go out in your life. You must keep the fire for the Lord burning in your life. You must be gathering sticks to feed the fire. Sticks are what keep the fire burning. That's what enables the fire to ignite more quickly, a lot easier. You could bring logs and put logs in the fire, but you'll have a hard time getting a log to catch fire. But if you bring sticks, they are thin enough, they are dry enough, they are ripe enough that they are able to ignite all the more easier. You and I need to learn how to bring sticks. We need to gather sticks so that the fire of God can be ignited, so that the provision of God can be ignited. Oh, God is so awesome and faithful. All we have to do is obey his word. Apply the principles of God in your life, and you will see that God will make a way for you. It says that he called her. And he said, please give me some water. And here is Elijah at the well, or the brook had dried up. And now as he is going to where God has called him to go, the first thing he asked for is the thing that he needed the most, the water. You and I, we need living water in our life. And we must always have it flowing in our lives. We need it to refresh ourselves. We need it to keep us faithful and strong, refreshed, so that we don't get dehydrated in the heat of the challenges and difficulties of life that we face. He goes on in verse 11, and he says, as she was going to get it, he called to her and said, please bring me a piece of bread in your hand In other words, hey, since you're willing to go get the water, can you, how about a little bread? How about a little bread? And so I wonder where the raven was getting that food from. Maybe he was getting it from over here where the widow was. But we know that God was the source, and he used the raven to bring bread and meat. And now he's saying, in the same manner that the raven brought you bread and meat, now the widow. And I'm sure Elijah thought for a moment. She said, wait a minute, she's getting water. The raven brought me bread and meat. I'm going to ask her for a little bread. For a little bit of bread. I see her with the sticks, and maybe she's needing to keep the fire going in her oven so that she can continually bake bread, so she can make bread. There's nothing like fresh bread, is there? Oh, there's nothing like it. No extra sugars and all these additional additives that they put in bread these days. Oh, but it is fresh, freshly baked. It smells good in the house. My daughters are now into making bread. Many of you guys probably know. And they bake bread, you know. It's like a little bread factory they got going on. And they're like, oh, look, this is the good stuff. This doesn't have all the extra stuff in it that they put in bread these days. So you can eat a little more of this and be satisfied. Oh, hallelujah. There's nothing like a good piece of bread, fresh bread. That's what this woman was making for Elijah. She was making this bread, and she was a willing servant. Notice she was willing. Notice she didn't say, well, who do you think you are coming here? I don't know you, right? She didn't give him any of that, right? Attitude, right? Who do you think you are? Wait, you're going to come over here? Look, don't you know there's a famine? Don't you know that we're starving? We're barely making it as it is. We can't afford to feed you, man. You got to go somewhere else. You got to get your own bread. Go find it. She didn't have an attitude. She didn't have any reason to say no. She just yielded because God had commanded her. And when God commands something, it will come to pass. When God speaks it, it will come to pass. So often we want things to go a certain way, or we want things to happen. And when it doesn't happen, we say, the devil. Oh, it was the devil. Well, I tell you, if you just enhance your relationship with God a little bit more, you just might find that it is God who's doing the commanding. It is God who does the commanding. And maybe it's not the devil. Maybe it's God not commanding, so it did not happen. But when God commands, it will come to pass. And so God is the source of our provision. God is the one who makes a way for us. And even as the raven had to give away his fragments, we too must learn how to give away ours. We must learn how to share our lives, how to share our resources, how to allow God to speak to us so that we can hear what the word of the Lord is saying, so that we can bring life to someone else, so that we can sow a seed of life for someone else. It says, as the Lord your God lives, I have no bread, only a handful of flour in the bowl, and a little oil in the jar. And behold, I am gathering a few sticks that I may go in and prepare for me and my son that we may eat it and die. This woman was preparing to die. It was her last meal. And she realized that this was going to kill her. This famine was all she had. And she was still willing to bring him water. But she said, I don't have any bread. And saints of God, I don't know how many times people may have asked you for a little something and you say, I don't have any bread, man. I'm all out of bread. Because you don't have what you think they're asking for. But the word of God is clear that you have all of the sources and the resources you need to make bread. Hallelujah. And God gives us what we need so that when we put it all together, we're able to make bread. We're able to have what we need. We're able to put our fragments together. We're able to take a handful of flour. We're able to take a little oil, and then we are able to put it in a jar. We're able to take a few sticks, and we're able to work everything together so that we can have bread. Hallelujah. You can have what you need. Hey, you can have the things that are required, not so you can eat and die, but so that you may live. But what changes this principle? What changes this? The reason things shifted is because God was at the command. God was the one who was orchestrating all of these things together. This woman was expecting to make her last meal and die. But God had another plan. God had another resource. There's always the God factor. There is always the situation, the things that we don't see or realize or recognize, even though they're standing right there before us. God will make a way. He will bring to pass. He will enable us to see. That's why we need to walk with God. We need to trust in God so that the things that we already have as a resource can come alive so that we will have the ability to see how effective they are when they're put together at being what we need them to be, that we too may live. It's the God factor. It's God showing up. She didn't send Elijah away, but he was the man of God. And she said, as the Lord your God lives. And saints of God, when you are walking with God, people will know that you're a woman of God, a man of God. They will recognize you're a child of God because there is something about the presence of God that sticks. There's something about when you're in the presence of God, it sticks to you and it will radiate from you. The more you walk with God, the more you're faithful to God, the more you hear his voice and follow him, the more it will become evident in your life and people will be able to see and they will know, no, you're not like everyone else. There is something about you that is different and they will be able to be used of God to be a blessing in their life, in your life, and you in theirs. And so this woman was preparing to die. And as verse 13 says, then Elijah said to her, do not fear. Go, do as you have said, but make me a little bread cake from it first and bring it to me. And afterward, you may make one for yourself and for your son. So here's Elijah saying, give your fragments away. He's saying, give your fragments away. I've learned from the raven that if you give your fragments away, as you follow the command of God, as you do what God has put on your heart to do, you will see the blessing of God overflow. And so Elijah is saying to her, don't be afraid, because she knew that she was going to die. And Elijah did not deny that fact because the famine was great. And I'm sure many people were dying because there was no water in the land, which means you couldn't make food. You wouldn't have what you needed to live. And so God is helping us to see the importance of being able to be free of fear. So many people are afraid during coronavirus. They're so full of fear, and they realize that there is something out there that could kill people, and people are dying. But I tell you, do not have fear. Do not fear. But if you go and do what the will of the Lord is, the rivers of living water will flow. If you are doing the will of God, the rivers of living water will flow. If you are going where God has told you to go and you are doing what God has called you to do, you will see the faithfulness of God and you will learn from the ravens that God is able to bring you bread and meat, not just once, but twice a day. every day for a while, even until the brook dries up, and then it's still not over. God will enable you to find your way to a place where you can have more resources. And he teamed up with the widow at the command of God. God will bring his people together so that we can share in our resources, so that we can have a little, and that God will provide for all. It says, do not fear, do as you have said, but make a little bread cake from it first and bring it to me. And here he is saying, bring it to God, the man of God. And as you take care of me, I will enable you to be taken care of by God. God has established this principle that when you sow into the life of others, when you're a blessing to others, when you put others before yourself, God will care for you. When you put others first, God will cause things to work together for your good, because you're called according to his purpose. The command of God. These are the commands of God. And he says, bring a little for me first. And saints of God, before we do for ourselves, we need to seek the face of God. We need to say, God, who can I help? Who can I be a blessing to? And even as you're making for yourself, you share your fragments. You give your portions away. Wow, what an awesome principle of God's blessing in our lives. God wants to overflow, but we have to change our worldly and carnal mindset that says, me first. I got to take care of myself. I got to look out for number one. God says, no, if you sow into the kingdom of God, if you sow into the hearts and the needs of those that God brings your way, God will enable you to have what you need. And so verse 14 says, thus says the Lord God of Israel, the bowl of flour shall not be exhausted. Hallelujah. Nor shall the jar of oil be empty until the day that the Lord sends rain on the face of the earth. You will live and you shall not die, because you thought of others before you thought of yourself. You took care of the man of God. You, in your desperate situation, in your time of weakness and lack, you thought about the kingdom of God. You thought about the will of God. You thought about the needs of others around you. And you rose up and you went without complaining, without asking a whole lot of questions, without saying a whole lot of stuff. You were faithful to God because you are at his command. God is orchestrating our lives. Hallelujah. God is working in the midst of his people. And God says, because you shared, your bowl will not be exhausted. Your jars will not be empty. You will have what you need until that rainy day comes again, until God's pouring out again, until the Spirit of God falls afresh again, until the need of God is sustained, until healing is established in the land. You will overcome. You will persevere. You will find yourself in a place of divine provision. You will not run dry. Your well will not run dry. God is faithful, and he is able to sustain his people when we are faithful. He says, so she went and did according to the word of Elisha. What? Notice the common thread here. Every time the word of the Lord was presented, the opportunity was presented, they didn't resist, they didn't turn away, they didn't make excuses, but each of them, both Elijah and the widow, they both went and did according to the word of the Lord. Elijah's word was not his own word. It was the word of the Lord. It was what God has spoken. And when you look at the previous verse in verse 14, it says, thus says the Lord God of Israel. It's God who's doing the commanding. It is the word of God. Oh, Elijah was just the vessel. He was just a bowl. He was just a jar, and God was speaking through. He was pouring out through him. You and I are jars. We're bowls. We're vessels. We're sticks. We are the tools that God is using so that we can be the bread that people need to be, so that we can feed them, we can bring life to them, we can encourage them, we can lift them up, we can enable fear to be dispelled. This is what God has called us to do, who he's called us to be. And even as she went, she did according to the word of Elijah, and she and her household ate for many days. Hallelujah. For many days. God wants to provide for you for many days. All you need to do is be faithful to the word of the Lord. Be faithful to the word of God. Know that he is able. Don't be afraid to share. Don't be afraid to be a blessing to others. Don't be afraid to give and to sow, but allow the word of the Lord to come to fruition in your life. The bowl of flour was not exhausted, nor did the jar of oil become empty, according to the word of the Lord, which he spoke through Elijah. Hallelujah. Oh, saints of God, God wants to show you the ravens in your life, the brook in your life. All you need to do is hear the word of the Lord. Apply the principles of God and his word in your life. God is speaking to you right now. God is calling you right now. God is looking for people who will hear his voice and follow him, who will yield and experience the provision of God. This is what it will take to survive the famine. This is what it will take to overcome the times and the dry seasons that we find ourselves in, times of pestilence and sickness and disease, even in these last days. This is the principle of God. God will allow you to be sustained if you hold on to the word of the Lord, that you are able to recognize when God is speaking through people in your life, when God is using people in your life to help you to see that God is calling you to give your fragments away. Give away your fragments, and God will cause them to be sustained. The little boy with the five loaves and the two fish, he understood how to give his fragments away. You and I must understand this principle. It's what you sow that will enable you to reap. And if you hold on to what you have will not sustain you. You will only find yourself sustained enough for a little while, and then you will die. But you will not be sustained for the duration, for the long haul. That requires giving your fragments away. Verse 34 says of John 4, it says, Jesus said to them, "My food is to do the will of him who sent me, and to accomplish his work." Oh, I pray that you are doing the will of him who sent you, and that you are accomplishing his work. You may have good intentions, but good intentions are good for nothing. You need follow through and accomplishment. It is what you actually follow through and accomplish that enables you to reap the benefits of God. It says, do not say there are yet 4 months and then comes the harvest. Behold, I say to you, lift up your eyes and look on the fields, that they are white for harvest. Already he who reaps is receiving wages and is gathering fruit for life eternal, so that he who sows and he who reaps may rejoice together. Saints of God, I pray that you know the reaping and the rejoicing that comes together when the one who sows is able to experience the reaping. It's one thing to experience rejoicing when you are blessed, but when you have sown into something and you have waited it out through the heat of the day, when you've gone through the struggle and the challenges of watching it wrestle through the shifts and the challenges and difficulties of the heat of the day, and all of a sudden it begins to spring forth and bring forth fruit, 30, 60, and 100 fold. That is a different level of rejoicing than the one who says, look, there's a harvest. Let's go get something to eat. But when you have been the one who's sown, when you've been the one who planted, when you've been the one who watered and who was waiting and trusting in God and praying that the conditions would be right and that things would be transformed and changed, when the harvest comes, you have a greater rejoicing. Oh, saints of God, many of us, we're praying for loved ones. We're praying for family members and co-workers, and we're asking God to do miracles in people's lives. We're looking to God to do and accomplish great things in our own life. And God has given us the strategy that we need to give our fragments away. We need to learn how to sow so that we may reap. And one day, no matter how challenging and how difficult the process has been, we can know that God is going to show up in the morning and he's going to show up in the evening. We know that there are struggles and challenges and difficulties that we will face and that we all do face, but we also know joy comes in the morning. God will enable us to overcome. God will enable us to reap. And God says in verse 36, he says, already he who reaps is receiving wages and is gathering fruit for life eternal, so that he who sows and he who reaps may rejoice together. For in this case, the saying is true, one sows and another reaps. Oh, saints of God, we're all a part of this process. He says in verse 38, I sent you to reap that for which you have not labored. Others have labored and you have entered into their labor. In other words, you sowed in and helped. You may not have done all the work, but at some point along the way, you are jumping in and you are adding your fragments to the mix. Saints of God, that's why we continue to pray. That's why we continue to listen to the voice of God. Oh, you may have sown. You may have looked and brought it before God. You may have been asking for God to do something or to manifest himself in some way, maybe in a person's life, to bring change and transformation, to bring revelation, to bring revival and renewing, to bring healing or deliverance in some way. And I tell you, God has not forsaken you. You must learn how to hold on as you go through the growth season. There is a growth season. It is like the heat of the day. God sows the seed in the morning. He brings you meat and bread in the morning, and then the day will bring the conditions of the day. But we must endure. We must hold on. Everyone must be able to trust in God, because in the evening, God will bring another. One will sow, will plant, and the other will bring water. But it is God who always brings the increase. And that's why Ecclesiastes 11 says, cast your bread on the surface of the waters, for you will find it after many days, or after many days, it will be returned to you. You will see the fruit of it. You will see the benefit of it. He says, divide your portion to 7 or even to 8, for you do not know what misfortune may occur on the earth. In other words, share what you have with others. Help others to have a kindred relationship with you, so that when difficult times come, they will be able to band together. You will be able to share together. And the resources that we all have will enable us to overcome. That's why 1 Kings 17:6 is so important. The ravens brought him bread and meat in the morning, and bread and meat in the evening, and he would drink from the brook. Saints of God, don't despise those little things that are happening in your life. Know that your backstory is a story that is well worth holding on to. It has value. God has raised you up for such a time as this. You are the people of God. God says, bring your fragments and give them away. Give your fragments away, redirect your passions, and allow the provision of God to sustain you. Yes, your flour and your oil will not run dry. God will make a way, even when it seems impossible, when you give your fragments away. Amen? Amen. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Others. Not only will you be able to sustain yourself, but you will be able to sustain your whole house. And God will cause all things, He causes all things to work together for your good when you love Him and are called according to His purposes. It's not just for everyone, it's not just for anyone, but it is for those who are able to apply the word of God in their lives. When you do what the word of the Lord says, you will reap of the kingdom of God, the provision of God, and you will see the faithfulness of God. Give your fragments away and allow the glory of God to prevail in your life. Well, Father, we thank you for your word today, and we ask, oh Lord, that you would manifest yourself in our lives. Oh God, send us to the place of resource. Help us to see as you send the ravens with bread and meat in the morning, bread and meat in the evening, as we drink from the brook, the living water of God, as we find ourselves in various places where we will then be able to take the lessons of our life and pass them on, where we would be able to share with others that you have brought into our lives. They have what we need. We have what they need. And as we exchange together, as we sow together, we also reap of the harvest of the kingdom of God. Help us, oh God. Help us, Lord, to be faithful, to live beyond ourselves, and to learn how to live in a manner that enables us to give our fragments away. Oh God, redirect the desires of our heart, the passions of our heart. Help us, oh God, to yield and surrender, to transform, that the very things that you have called us to do, we would have the strength to do them, trusting you in all your ways. In Jesus' name we pray, and we give you thanks, oh God, and all God's people said, amen, amen, and amen. Well, God bless you, and thank you for coming to the Orange County Gospel Fellowship today. I pray the Spirit of the Lord is upon you, and that the glory of God is being manifested in your life. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. Thank you for coming. Hallelujah. The fire will drive bones to life.
Your love inside of